Television, with its power to reach into millions of American homes, was the medium that spawned modern presidential debates. The first televised debate took place in 1960 between then Vice President Richard Nixon and Massachusetts Senator Jack Kennedy.
Nixon, with his experience in foreign affairs as vice president under the in the Eisenhower administration, thought that he could handle Kennedy in the debate.
Thomas Patterson is a professor of political science at Syracuse University in New York and the author of several books on presidential politics.
Nixon was concerned about the effects of an economic recession that had kicked in 1958 and was hurting the In Party, his party. The Republican Party held the presidency at the time. And he is also concerned, if you looked at the numbers, there were a lot more Democrats out there than Republicans. And so he thought he could beat Kennedy in the debate. From Kennedy's standpoint, he had, from the very beginning, he was working against the image that he wasn't experienced enough, wasn't old enough to be president. He was young. He was not a senator of considerable standing. And he saw the debates as an opportunity, essentially, to bring himself up even with Nixon.
If we're going to protect the security of Western Europe, and therefore, on this question, I don't think that there is any doubt in the mind of any American. I hope there is not any doubt in the mind of any member of the community of West Berlin. I'm sure there isn't any doubt in the mind of the Russians. We will meet our commitments to maintain the freedom and independence of West Berlin.
As far as Berlin is concerned, there isn't any question about the necessity of defending Berlin, the rights of people there to be free, and there isn't any question about what the United American people, Republicans and Democrats alike, would do in the event there were an attempt by the Communists to take over in Berlin.
Interestingly, a poll of those who only heard it on radio gave the debate to Nixon, but the cameras were kinder to Kennedy, and most television viewers thought he won the debate. Those two debates reached 4 out of 5 voters, and in one of the closest presidential elections in history, may have given Kennedy the margin of victory. It's not uncommon for candidates to debate about the debates, each jockeying for the time, place, and manner most advantageous to him. Conventional wisdom indicates that the candidate that is behind in the polls has the most to gain from debating. That logic suggests that President Bush should want to debate. Patterson thinks the Bush campaign has no choice.
They've got to win this thing. They've got to do very well in the debates. If you have 3 debates and Clinton does well in one of them, I think the Bush people feel that, you know, maybe we've lost it at that point. If you have 2, well, it's easier to win 2 in a row than 3 in a row. So, you know, I think there's a little bit of strategic calculation that's going on here.
That strategic calculation is going on in the Clinton campaign as well. Even with Bush behind in the polls, the Arkansas governor has reasons to want a debate. University of Illinois political science professor Paul Quirk.
Clinton very clearly is one of the better debaters among contemporary politicians, and President Bush is very likely one of the worst ones, and Clinton, I think, has quite good reason to expect that he would do better.
Furthermore, candidates do potentially have a lot to lose by declining debates. Before the Iowa caucus in 1980, candidate Ronald Reagan was leading his Republican rivals in the state. After Reagan declined a debate, he lost Iowa. Syracuse University's Patterson says George Bush, the man who profited by that mistake, should learn from Reagan's error.
You know, the lesson of Iowa in 1980 is that when everyone expects you to participate, you better participate.
This year, the format of the debate is the issue. In recent history, presidential debates have followed a format of a panel of several members posing questions to the candidates.
You know, I think the description side-by-side press conferences comes closer to what these debates really are. I mean, candidates are going to say what they want to say. They're not going to fight the debate out on the other candidate's turf, and they're not going to fight it out in exactly the way the questioners would frame the debate. They're going to play it the way that they think advantages them.
Following the 1988 election, a bipartisan commission was formed to come up with a better way to conduct debates. The panel recommended that the format be changed to one moderator and the two candidates posing questions to one another. Rodney Davis, a history professor at Knox College in Galesburg, says that's similar to the series of debates for U.S. Senate in Illinois carried out by Abraham Lincoln and Stephen Douglas in 1858.
The Lincoln-Douglas debates were conducted really quite formally as debates, with one of the adversary to open, and then the other to respond, and then the one who opened to close. They were expected to take 3 hours to complete. The fellow who opened spoke for an hour. The person who responded spoke for an hour and a half, and then the one who closed spoke for a half hour.
But how valuable are debates as a medium for telling voters who will be a good president? The U of I's Paul Quirk says, not very.
When presidents make decisions, except in extraordinarily rare circumstances, it's not on the spur of the moment. It's not in the 5 seconds or 4 seconds in which you have to start talking in a debate or else you start looking bad. The kind of personality, I think that even the kind of personality that does well in a debate is often different from the kind of personality who reflects carefully and balances issues in a judicious way and makes sensible decisions.
Quirk says he's thought a lot about what might be a better way to bring intelligent discourse to presidential campaigns.
A debate conducted in the newspapers, where over a series of days, would be better. I see nothing wrong with giving the presidential candidates some time to formulate a response, as long as the responses that they give are really going to be subjected to some searching examination. And I would like that searching examination not only to be from the other candidate or from the other candidate's campaign, but also part of it to come from more independent kinds of commentators.
But with fewer people reading newspapers these days, that might just be wishful thinking. In speculating about whether or not there will in fact be presidential debates this year, it should be noted that there were none between the time of the Nixon-Kennedy debates in 1960 and the Ford-Carter debates of 1976. I'm Scott Newman.